Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see the hearts of individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father, and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. I'm your host, AJ Selby, and on today's episode, we'll be talking with Susan Pons as she shares one of her favorite teachings about what it looks like for God to take us from season to season, pouring us from vessel to vessel, and the valuable lessons that there are when God is taking us to a new thing, and how there are things that have to be left behind in order to go where He is taking us. Take a listen. Well, we have Miss Susan Pons back with us today, and we are so grateful to have her with us again. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here, AJ.
You have a favorite teaching that you give that talks about how the Lord is continually moving us forward from season to season, even when the circumstances seem overwhelming. Will you encourage us with that teaching that you do today?
Yes. And before I even tell you the title of this, I want to personalize this and to say that in a season when I did not and could not understand what God was doing in my life or in layers in my life, I found this scripture out of Jeremiah 48, and it simply says this: Moab has been at ease from his youth, settled like wine on its dregs. He has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, his flavor has remained, and his aroma is unspoiled. Now, you may say, what in heaven's name did that have to do with what you were going through? But I realized how very deep God was going in my life in that particular season, in places that I had not seen the need to change. I liked myself, actually, in those places. But it's as though the Lord was going, no, you are settled still in places from your youth. And you've not gone into exile, which means sometimes God has to separate us to do what work He wants and desires to do in each of us. But what Jeremiah does here, he compares this to winemaking. And so that's what I want to kind of show you, the physical that really means so much in our spiritual walk with God and explains sometimes the seasons that we are in that can be very difficult. So let's begin.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Okay. Now I'm going to explain to you, as I have done some learning about the procedure of winemaking in the Old Testament. And it goes something like this. The procedure of winemaking, this refers to the process of winemaking, but it is comparing it with the unchanging nature of Moab. This preceded God's judgment on the Moabites. And I want to say this. This scripture preceded God's judgment on the Moabites. Nonetheless, the process of making a clear, rich wine, and just suppose that we are the wine, just might concern us with being compared to Moab. Now, let's just break this scripture down. Moab has been at ease from his youth. This is a symptom, in my opinion, of the youth in America due to broken families, overindulgence, a lack of realizing that there are other people in this world besides you who are important to God, not just you. But it is, Moab was just, you know, there wasn't change going on. Now, settle like wine on its dregs. This is the definition for dregs. Dregs mean slop, scum, refuse, and unwashed.
Refuse and unwashed.
Mm-hmm. So now let's spiritualize this a little bit.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Settled on our dregs. There has been no, settled like wine on its dregs means there's no change between, or little change between childhood and adulthood. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child, but when I became a man, or when I became a woman, I put away childish things. And unless a correct maturing process is taking place, that same child in us remains settled on our dregs. And I believe that's what has brought about lawlessness in our nation. The tragedy of children not being able to experience a maturing process. And we all have our dregs. And if anyone says, oh, I don't have dregs, well, I'll just leave that between you and the Lord. But I know what happened with me.
When you talk about children not having a maturing process, are you referring to how so often nowadays children are almost forced into a rapid maturing process where maybe it's not that they're maturing, but they're exposed to so much earlier in life?
Oh, absolutely. And we have had children come to this ministry here who don't know how to play.
Hmm.
They never had the opportunity to play, and they didn't know how. And so here, playing, they turn into children.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful, wonderful sight to see. Let me go on. And the scripture says, he has not gone into exile, sent away for his or her actions. Now, that is, to me, that means discipline. He's not been punished or suffered consequences or trained in godly ways. I mean, I think we can look at our government and see that many people in these past years were not suffered consequences. They're not afraid of consequences. I think, and that brings about a lawlessness. It brings about a lawlessness in teenagers. Like I said in an earlier podcast, they don't even look over their shoulder to see if someone's looking. They're not afraid of the police. They're not afraid of anybody. And that is not all of them. But our culture is turning into that. And so his flavor has remained and his aroma is unspoiled. Which if we go back to that definition of slop and scum, it means that's really what they smell like. And so they go, or we, any of us, can go into a marriage with an immaturity and we haven't been open to God's process. And so that's what we're going to go through now. We're going to go through the winemaking process and see if this doesn't make sense in these unexplained times of life, what God just might be doing. First of all, the winemaker goes out into the vintage field and he picks the choice grapes. And it, to me, it's like that scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. But to make a wonderful wine, it's the choice grapes. When God walks through Christendom, he doesn't choose everybody, but some are called, but then some are really chosen.
So you just mentioned how the winemaker goes out into the vineyard and he chooses the select grapes, and that's how the Lord is with us. And Can you explain a little bit how you said that some are chosen, but some are not, but yet the Lord came for all of us. Can you just clarify that for me real quick?
Well, in my own understanding is that many of us, I knew when I came to the Lord that I was called. I am not so arrogant that I would think that I was one of the chosen, that I am a chosen one. But I think what the experiences we go through in life, that's what decides if we're chosen or not. And I think that God's people who are chosen, apart, set apart from those who are called by God, go through deep valleys sometimes. They go through unexplainable things. Life doesn't just happen. We have to dig deep, deep for Him. And that is my basic understanding. And if God has chosen, then He deals with you in a different manner.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify for our listeners, because I wanted to make sure that nobody misunderstood that it's not that that salvation is not for everybody, but it's that there are a chosen people amongst believers that God has a different purpose for.
Right. And has a different calling that goes, I don't know that there's a deeper calling than salvation, than coming to know the Lord, but there are deeper ways that He wants us to walk in. That's my human understanding of it.
And He has us all for different purposes.
Absolutely. And that's what makes up the body of Christ. Next, the grapes are poured into a huge vat while the winemaker has chosen his appointed ones to walk on, crush, pulverize, peeling, separating from the fruit, and they are left for an appointed time to settle. Now, to me, that's a picture of our flesh. Sometimes when God has us in a particular season, that wineskin, like our flesh, is being torn away. And there's a crushing going on, a pulverizing going on. And it's so awful, we just want to say, God, I don't want to have anything to do with You.
Yeah.
But if we hang in there during that crushing and separating the flesh from the fruit, we'll see things that begin to make sense. The second thing that happens following the settled time on its lees, the mash of grapes are poured into chosen vessels. And each time there's a pouring, some of the dregs are left behind. But only the winemaker knows from the aroma that is coming forth from that former vessel and just the color that the mash has brought. Only the winemaker knows when it's time to pour it into the next vessel. And only God knows the same thing about each of us.
Yeah. Real quick, before we go further, I'm curious, what does, because we talk about the winemaker transferring the wine to a new vessel and the dregs are left behind. What's an example of what that might look like in our daily life? Like, what are sometimes those things that get left behind?
I believe selfishness is one huge one. The dregs, there are many dregs of selfishness. The dregs of not really seeking God and His ways. And I know here we try to teach God's ways. I am such a grace person, but I can tell you this, the Old and the New Testament has shown us how we should be living.
Yeah.
And so some of those dregs are, I'm not living that way that would please God. And I think things like becoming a victim, all of these self-centeredness, and it's my way, I think the dregs, that is much of the dregs left behind.
Thank you.
And sin.
Well, yeah.
And good old-fashioned sin. Well, following the settled time, the mash of grapes are poured into those chosen vessels. Now, the wine does not pour itself. We as human beings really can't pour ourselves because we would always stop at some point. At least I can speak for myself. I would stop at some point and say, this is enough. I'm not going any further. But only the winemaker knows the perfect time to empty the mash into a new vessel. And that new vessel is shaped differently. It is unfamiliar. And I found that any of us can find that to be true in marriage, in raising children, because this is a new vessel we've been poured into. And the question is, are we going to allow ourselves to be poured, or are we just going to hold on to those dregs and stay the way we've always been, selfish and self-centered? Now, this process will continue from vessel to vessel until the winemaker begins to smell a new aroma coming forth. I know the time that we lived in the ministry, that Larry and I felt like we were in a fishbowl, that we were the fish in the bowl, and other people kept looking in at us. And you know how it looks warped?
Yeah.
If you're inside a fishbowl.
Absolutely.
And it was all very clear, but it was a different vessel we had been put into, where people could see us and see our children, see if what we were teaching was true in our own lives. And that was not, that required us to allow God to keep pouring us and pouring our children at the same time. But this is not the case if the wine is allowed to stay in the same vessel for too long a period of time. This is called settled on its lees or settled on its dregs. It keeps the wine, if that happens and stays in one vessel too long, it keeps the color and it keeps the scent of the dregs if wine stays in that vessel for too long a period of time. And there is no change, no pouring happening.
Would you say also, in addition to that, if it's poured too soon, then it hasn't reached
That's
the point
right.
of maturing that it's supposed to be until it just hasn't reached that maturity that it's supposed to be at for the right time.
For the right time, for the right pouring. And sometimes I've thought, I don't want to be in this kind of situation anymore and that sort of thing. And so I start settling. I can settle on my lees and say, God, you're just not there, or you're just not doing. But the maturing process is giving in to the Lord and allowing Him to pour us into a new vessel. And I can't tell you, there's peace in that. There really is peace in that. Settled on its lees in the scripture we just read is a Hebrew word for thick or curdled.
Ooh.
Now, when I looked this up, I thought of the old ketchup bottles in glass where you would have to beat the bottom of the ketchup bottle or shake it real hard to get the ketchup out.
Uh-huh.
And that, when we're settled on our lees, even we can be so settled that even if God is trying to pour us, we are down there in the bottom refusing to be poured.
Yeah.
So here we are in a broad vessel, and all of a sudden God begins to pour us into a more narrow one.
Yeah.
But the word says narrow is the path, you know. broad is the path of sin, but narrow is the path of God, to God. And so this entire winemaking process is such a spiritual happening. But perhaps there's some listening out there in your audience, AJ, whom God is trying to pour into a new vessel, but we find we're settled on our lees. We're saying, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it doesn't mean that there are times we say, we don't say no, but there are times that we need to see that God is working something deeper in us. I remember in our first years here at the ministry, every year the Rainbow family came to the Nantahala Mountains, and they had a family gathering. They always left a mess. They all brought their children. They seemed to be not clean people and all of this. And I remember standing at the window, and it would come out in the newspaper every year that the Rainbow family is having a convention. Okay. But I was standing at the window and thinking, oh, how awful. Those people are just awful. And I'm telling you, I heard the Lord say, well, how have you changed, Susan? Ooh. The Rainbow family's been coming here 30 years. Look at you. Are you changing your ways? And, you know, that really touched me, and it gave me a compassion for those people. I don't know if they're still in existence, but they were hippies who had never outgrown their hippiehood. And if that's such a word, hippiehood.
I think you made it a word.
I think I made it one. But life has a way of tilting us. And, you know, if it begins as parents with our little children, that we begin tilting them from age to age, from situation to situation, then by the time they're teenagers or going off to college or marriage, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It's just that they understand. They have an understanding that life tilts us. But it's not just life tilting us. It is God tilting us so he can smell that new aroma. But let me just give you a few of the types of vessels we can be poured into. One can be a deep, dark vessel, and nobody knows that we're there. It's kind of like Job saying he was so deep down in this pit that there were people walking by, and nobody knew you were there. And that is a very, very lonely and rejected feeling. But it is a vessel nonetheless. The next vessel could be like our natural God-given abilities are not being used. And that is a vessel where we have to settle in the Lord and settle, well, God, this is where you have me. I'm not out saving the world. I'm not out singing your songs, but I'm in this vessel now, and I will wait for your timing for you to use the gifts that are in me.
Yeah.
And the third one is an open vessel where everyone can see our dregs, including ourselves. And that's what I was mentioning before of living in a somewhat public place where people can see us. But I think the most important thing is that we don't know our own hearts. The Word tells us that. And that we can see our own dregs, give them to Jesus, receive his forgiveness and his life, and take those dregs and turn them into gold. Turn them into gold. But the good Lord continues to tilt us individually. He tilts our marriages. He tilts the church. He is tilting our nation. And the church is, from the Word, says that it'll be shaken first. It will be tilted first. And I can tell you right now, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of tilting going on. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when I shall send him to him decanters to decant him. And that means people who pour out and empty his vessels and break his jars. And so unless we have that just, Lord, I give this to you, that release of the Spirit, then it makes sometimes our circumstances more difficult to go through. And I think sometimes when people divorce, they think, well, the next marriage will be better than this. But you actually carry your old dregs into the next marriage. And so the process, if you're in the Lord, the process can easily begin over and over again.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about when the decanters will pour into a new vessel and break the old ones.
Yes.
It's that indication that when we move from season to season, we can't go back to the old season.
Right.
Like it's not possible.
Yes.
But there are times where we're poured out and maybe it's not broken. And you're talking about the example of those that have been divorced.
Yes.
Where even like I personally had to learn, I couldn't have that same vessel to carry my new marriage, my new relationship. And that vessel had to be broken in order to have a new vessel.
Exactly. And you have a very happy one, AJ.
I do. I am blessed.
But the purpose of this scripture, which came out of the blue, is teaching us and to warn us to be pourable before the Lord, not to allow ourselves to refuse to be tilted and poured individually or in our marriages or in our homes or in our walk with God or in our nation in these days and times. But out of the Moabites came Ruth, who was a part of the lineage of Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
It's such a beautiful picture of the redemption that comes.
It is. And all of this is a redemptive process. Ruth was a woman who allowed herself to be poured from situation to situation. So we must continue the lineage of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And just to close this, I want to close this with a scripture out of 2 Timothy. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So let us all, no matter what stage we are in life, to allow ourselves to be pourable by the Lord.
Susan, I can't close this any better. That's such a great place. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International. It is produced by AJ Selby, Rebecca Wall, and Seth Stradling. It is edited, mixed, and mastered by AJ Selby.